NTSB rules in the Scott Crossfield accident. NASA launches the oft-delayed Dawn space probe. And there's good news and bad news for Airbus. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack, in the now empty basement of the Georgia World Congress Center. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, September 28, 2007. The NTSB has released the final report on the tragic accident that killed famed aviator Scott Crossfield and places responsibility with both the pilot and an air traffic controller. On April 19th last year, Crossfield flew his Cessna 210 into an area of severe thunderstorms at 11,000 feet, then descended rapidly in impacted terrain near Ludville, Georgia. Investigators found no pre-impact mechanical malfunctions or anomalies that would have prevented the normal operation of the airplane or its systems. NTSB says its review of air traffic communications and radar data identified no issues that should have prevented the controller from telling Crossfield he was flying into severe turbulence. On the basis of the controller's workload and available resources, the board says he should have provided appropriate advisories to the pilot. On the other hand, Crossfield obtained several weather briefings before departure and reportedly told an acquaintance he was expecting to have to fly around bad weather. But by the time he encountered the weather, he'd been airborne for over an hour and had not requested any updates on the weather from air traffic controllers. It's not known if the plane's storm scope was in use, and the 210's panel lacked satellite weather. NTSB's summary of the accident's cause was, quote, the pilot's failure to obtain updated en route weather information, which resulted in his continued instrument flight into a widespread area of severe convective activity, and the air traffic controller's failure to provide adverse weather avoidance assistance as required by Federal Aviation Administration directives, both of which led to the airplane's encounter with a severe thunderstorm and subsequent loss of control, unquote. The Dawn spacecraft is finally on its way to explore the asteroids Vesta and Ceres. Thursday morning, the mission finally got past 4 years of on-and-off status, technical glitches, and even a dropped wrench. The Delta II rocket, fitted with 9 strap-on solid-fuel boosters, safely climbed away from the Florida coastline and launch complex 17B at the Cape Canaveral Air Force Station. By late Thursday morning, NASA reported acquisition of the probe's signal. Dawn's instruments will measure shape, surface topography, and tectonic history, elemental and mineral composition, as well as seek out water-bearing minerals on the two asteroids in an attempt to learn more about the origins of the solar system. Airbus saw its first new A380 order in 2 years on Thursday. It came from British Airways. The order was a welcome bit of good news as the company deals with corporate reorganization and fallout from development delays. The bad news? British Airways also ordered 24 Boeing 787s. Airbus Chief Executive Tom Enders wasn't passing up the chance to smile, though. He told Forbes, quote, British Airways' decision is another breakthrough for our flagship Airbus A380. Proof our concept is the right aircraft to tackle growth, airport capacity constraints, as well as environmental concerns, unquote. The last order for the A380 was in 2005 from Kingfisher Airlines in India, before two announcements of major program delays, which put delivery at least 22 months behind schedule. Acting FAA Administrator Bobby Sturgill told the House Subcommittee on Aviation that Tuesday's communication equipment failure at the Memphis Air Traffic Control Center was a Bell South AT&T problem. The outage isolated the facility, and controllers reported having to use their personal cell phones to contact other ATC facilities. Dozens of flights were delayed and canceled after the airspace within 250 miles of Memphis had to be closed to airline traffic for about 3 hours. The facility is networked by AT&T. The company said the disruption was caused by equipment failure. Quote, the company is conducting a comprehensive investigation to determine the cause, unquote. National Air Traffic Controllers Association spokesman Doug Church called the Tuesday outage a major safety problem. Up next on ANN, the FAA issues the new U.S. Airways an operating certificate. Pilots of the old U.S. Airways picket over unfinished business. And a China Airlines crew finds a long crack in the tail of a 737. You're listening to Aero News.
Higher, faster, farther, safer. Those are the watchwords of Columbia Aircraft Manufacturing's new generation of personal airplanes. The Columbia 400 is a fire-breathing turbocharged four-seater that carries 1,100 pounds and cruises 235 knots with a next-generation Avidyne or Garmin electronic cockpit to show you the way. As high as flight level 250, way above most weather, and a max range of 1,300 nautical miles, the Columbia 400 is the kind of plane you deserve, whether you're a businessman on the go or a Sunday flyer in a hurry to his next great adventure. To schedule a demo flight in a Columbia 350 or the turbocharged 400, call 541-318-1144. Check them out on the web at flycolumbia.com.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for September 28, 2007. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. U.S. Airways, which 2 years ago merged with America West, officially completed the job on Wednesday when the FAA granted the airline a single operating certificate. CEO Doug Parker observed, quote, "Achieving an integration of this magnitude in just 24 months is unheard of in the airline industry and a fantastic result," unquote. That integration required merging the separate airlines' information technology systems and flight operations computer systems, airport, maintenance, and onboard policies and procedures. The airline still must achieve single contracts with pilots, flight attendants, and ground and maintenance employees, who will continue to work under the terms of transition agreements reached after the merger. U.S. Airways is the fifth largest domestic airline with more than 36,000 employees. Pilots who worked for U.S. Airways before the merger celebrated the news by picketing at Reagan National Airport. They say they want the same wages as their former America West counterparts. Both pilot groups are represented by the Airline Pilots Association and fly the same aircraft and routes. The pilots claim that former America West captains, on average, earn about $20,000 a year more than legacy U.S. Airways captains. After enduring pay and benefit cuts, loss of pensions, and scheduling concessions to help U.S. Airways stay in business through two bankruptcies, the pilots say the least they expected was parity with the former America West pilots. They also echo a theme common among airline employees these days: outrage at large salaries and bonuses paid airline executives after employees have made sacrifices during bankruptcies. Already on edge after last month's fiery explosion of a taxiing 737 in Japan, a China Airlines maintenance crew reportedly discovered a 28-inch crack in the fuselage of a Boeing 737-800 last week. The flight had landed at Saga Airport. The Seattle Times reports the airline crack was discovered during a routine post-flight inspection. As ANN reported, all 165 people on board that 737 that landed in Okinawa were able to evacuate safely before the fireball engulfed the plane. The fire was later traced to a fuel leak caused when a loose wing slat bolt punctured a fuel tank. The cause of the crack in the tail of the plane at Saga has not yet been determined. The airline sent another 737 to pick up the 49 passengers and take them on to their destination. The Lindbergh Foundation announced three new board members at a Wednesday press conference at NBAA. They include Lyndon Blue, chairman of Spectrum Aeronautical LLC, Larry Williams, president of Ballistic Recovery Systems Incorporated, and Sean A. Dorsch, president, chief operating officer, and co-founder of Blackbird Holdings Incorporated. Foundation officials also launched the Lindbergh Partners Program, aimed largely at aviation companies, and publicly thanked NBAA President Ed Bolin for a generous financial contribution made by NBAA charities earlier this year. Foundation Director John King, who's co-chairman of King Schools, said he's pleased at the addition of the new directors. He added that the Lindbergh Partners Program achieves two important objectives. Quote, "First, contributions from participating corporations are used to support the mission of the Lindbergh Foundation. Second, environmentally responsible companies benefit from the opportunity to align themselves with one of the greatest names in aviation," unquote. Lycoming Engines has become the Foundation's first Lindbergh partner. Still ahead, the Shuttle Discovery will be rolled to the launch pad on Saturday. WSI's in-cockpit weather is selected as a component of L3's Smart Deck. and the Mars rover Opportunity reaches its first job site inside Victoria Crater. You're listening to Aero News.
Welcome to Cirrus Design, maker of the world's best-selling personal aircraft, the sleek SR-22. Cirrus planes feature the latest technologies and are equipped with an exclusive, life-saving parachute system. It is our mission to make personal aviation safe, affordable, and convenient. At Cirrus, we offer a test drive like no one else in the business.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, September 28, 2007. I'm Paul Plagg. NASA says the Space Shuttle Discovery will be rolled out to Launch Pad 39A at Kennedy Space Center on Saturday in preparation for mission STS-120. Discovery is scheduled to lift off October 23rd on a 14-day mission to the International Space Station. The trip from Kennedy's Vehicle Assembly Building is expected to start at 8 p.m. Eastern Time Saturday evening. The 3.4-mile crawl to the launch pad should take about 6 hours. The agenda for STS-120 includes adding a module to the space station that will serve as a port for installing additional international laboratories. The Harmony module will be the first expansion of the living and working space on the orbiting laboratory since 2001. The mission also will move the first set of solar arrays installed on the station to a permanent location on the complex and redeploy them. WSI Corporation announced this week its in-flight broadcast cockpit weather service was selected by L3 Communications Avionics Systems to depict North American weather information on the new SmartDeck integrated flight controls and display system. SmartDeck integrates navigation and weather, along with traffic, terrain, communications, flight controls, engine monitoring, and enhanced vision into a single easy-to-use system. The WSI system will be offered as a standard option to general aviation aircraft manufacturers. The SmartDeck implementation of WSI InFlight will include WSI NowRad, depicting precipitation over the U.S., Canadian radar, EchoTOPS, Lightning, METARs, TAFs, AirMets, and SIGMETs, as well as TFRs, with more weather products anticipated in the future. Cirrus announced at NBAA that L3's SmartDeck has been selected for the development phase of the company's upcoming Very Light Jet. NASA says data received from Mars late Tuesday confirmed that the Mars Exploration Rover Opportunity has reached its first destination inside Victoria Crater. That means Opportunity has made its way down the inner slope of the half-mile-wide crater to a band of relatively bright exposed bedrock. The rover is in position to touch a selected slab of rock with tools at the end of its robotic arm, after safety checks to be sure Opportunity could operate at its current 25-degree tilt. Researchers intend to begin examining the rock later this week. Spirit, meanwhile, is exploring the top surface of a plateau called Home Plate, where rocks hold evidence about an explosive combination of water and volcanism. And finally, for a guy who heads up one of the most criticized of all federal agencies, Transportation Security Administration head Kip Hawley maintains a remarkably optimistic outlook. Hawley tells the South Florida Sun-Sentinel that in the not-too-distant future, passing through airport security will be a calmer, more efficient process. He says newer technologies will help, but adds that advances in passenger intelligence will help screeners focus on travelers who are potentially dangerous. Quote, "And I see that as a near-term objective," unquote. Hawley does concede that going through an airport without removing your shoes won't happen anytime soon. Quote, "It's probably the number one issue, customer-wise, that we hear feedback from," unquote. And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, we'll hear U.S. Transportation Secretary Mary Peters and Georgia Governor Sonny Perdue with their opening addresses at this week's NBAA convention in Atlanta. And if you haven't gotten around to it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts. You'll find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. At the Georgia World Congress Center, I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend. Have a clear and unlimited day.